Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. We are here for another episode, episode 58, if Aaron is correct, and he might be or he might not be. Are you, Aaron? We never know. Welcome, guys. We're so excited to be here with you today. We are going to be talking about, drumroll please. Hey, we're going to be covering a few topics, one of them specifically being talking about the peace of God and having peace in our lives. I think we all want peace. Do you want peace, Pastor Dan? Peace?
Love, peace.
Peace, love, harmony. What is it?
Peace, love, dove. Peace, love, and harmony.
I'm trying to think. There's like a tune coming to my head.
I got a peaceful, easy feeling. Is that what's coming in? I got a peaceful.
Is it? It's kind of like, heal the world. The Michael Jackson, make it a better place.
Oh, man. You reached back in the 80s.
I know. I don't know what.
I was reaching back in like the 60s, you know, but yeah.
Well, you're the vault, right?
That's true.
Explain the vault for those who don't know.
For those that have never heard this term, this came really in my young adult life because I had a bunch of friends and we would talk to each other in movie quotes sometimes, you know, so like things would just come out of us and we would just, and literally we could have a whole conversation.
Just different lines and
never use our own words. We could go back and forth, you know, it's almost like when you'd play the question game, you had to ask questions. Well, we would do movie lines. And there was never a formal, like, hey, we're starting this. You know, it was just like someone would start it and we'd be into it. Yeah. But my parents growing up, I'd walk into like a grocery store and there'd be something playing on the overhead speakers. And my mom would say, who's singing? You know, and I'd have to be like, and of course, as a kid, you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so she'd be like, Aretha Franklin, you know. And so I'd have to, you know, kind of, I realized at a young age, like, if I'm going to survive in this world.
Yeah.
You know, I need to know who's singing when I walk into a grocery store. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, I've got my parents were hippies. My dad had an extensive record collection, which are actually our children's pastor, Mario Balderas, his son, Mario Jr., got a lot of those. Those records, still has those. And so, yeah, I mean, so I grew up with this extensive like 60s and 70s and then being a kid of the 80s, and, you know, in a rock and roll in the 90s and all that heavy metal and, you know, then the emo days of the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, all that kind of stuff. So a lot of times people will reference like rap and R&B and I'm like, I have no clue what you're talking about, But when it comes to some of the old stuff,
Well, so Pastor Jess, she's your rap and R&B.
She has her own, I mean, the girl is gangster, you know, I'll just put it that way. So. I mean, she'll listen to stuff. She'll be like, what is this? You know, and then you'll put on something with a beat and she's like,
she knows it.
But yeah, so they call my head the vault because there's a whole lot of movie quotes, random facts, songs, who's saying what, all that kind of stuff. So that's why peaceful, easy feeling just flowed out of me.
No, you know? And that's why, again, I it didn't take long in getting to know Pastor Dan that you're like, oh yeah, we call him the vault because he'll hear just needs a clip of
all I need is a quote,
song.
A clip of something, some sort of reference, you know.
It's
nice though because people around me, you know, every now and then stuff will come out and I celebrate it. You know what I mean? So like the other day, actually during the Easter rehearsals, we're watching this video and the beginning of the video, some of you guys might have seen this, waiting for service to start, and it was like talking about our sin and it's like, look what you have done, you know, and it was really kind of depressing, you know, because it's like when you think about what I've done, it's like, oh man, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
I deserve hell, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then it changes, you know, and the devil might think that he's won, but then, you know, we can tell him, look at what he has done, talking about Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
So Pastor Brian comes over with a movie quote. He goes, man, I was watching that video, and I was like, man, this is a real bummer. And then it totally redeemed itself. I was like, that's my boy right there, you know? I loved it. Loved
Wait,
it.
Wait, no, I know this line, but I'm blanking on the
this
movie.
This is an easy one. It's a
Dumb
layup.
And Dumber, Dumb and Dumber.
You got it.
Yes, oh my gosh! And then in the context of that line is like it was a dummy. Classic stuff.
Yep.
Well, if you maybe you're not the vault, but hey, we're hearing from the vault today.
That's right,
Pastor. We are kicking, or you? We closed out. Our faith, Law of Faith series, and we started a new chapter. Just like that, chapter number 5.
And just like that, we were into chapter number. What's that from? Come on.
And just like that.
And
see how
just like that. Like see, it just flows out of me. I just, you know, Tom Hanks is in my head. Just like that.
Oh, see, I'm
chapter number 5. It's, come on.
And just like that.
Forrest Gump.
Oh, see.
Classic.
I've seen it a few times, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's like the Run, Forrest. That's the easy one. That's the entry level.
Yeah.
To Forrest Gump. But anyways.
Anyways. Yeah. So chapter 5.
Chapter 5.
Amazing chapter.
We are, and I love the title. Access granted.
You know, I think in this message, I had more compliments on the title than I did on the
right.
The content.
Well, because it's such a statement. I mean, it's two words, but it's such a powerful statement.
Right.
I mean, it's a perspective to think like, oh, that's right.
Sure.
We have been granted access. Well, access to what, Pastor?
Right.
Well, that's where we're going to go over today, a few of the things.
Well, the amazing thing to me was that, you know, I used abundant examples. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked about ATM machines. I talked about, you know, credit cards. I talked about lounges, you know, all that kind of stuff that access could be granted to. People at the back door were coming up to me with more.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it was just like, wow, there's an abundance of examples. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks to the fact that God, being greater than our natural realm, there's more access granted to us than we even know.
Right.
Than I even know. You know, and I've been studying the word for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, there's still more. There's still more that God has for us. There's still more that's available to us. And I think that's the beauty, just of that title, really, but of the whole message, is that because when you start to explore subjects like grace, peace, right, rejoicing and hope, those are things that that open worlds up to us as believers.
Right. Well, it shows you the relatability of these topics because it's things that we're thinking about all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So if we have our own personal analogies, it's because those are the things that are stewing in our heads.
Absolutely.
Right? So I'm sure there's an abundant list of like, oh, I think about it this way. This is the way I think about it. Because what happens is in their own mind, they're thinking about where access maybe is denied.
Sure.
And so to be empowered to see, oh, wait, this access is granted through here, then because they're constantly in their face are these closed doors.
Right.
And then so we come to the house of God, we get into the word of God, and we see, wait, oh, there's open doors.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what one of the powerful things that stood out, Pastor Dan. Now, going into a message like this, do you always understand the I mean, again, because, you know, there'll be messages that there's great feedback and there's some, maybe they're more contemplative, so it's going to settle in. Then they'll come back the next week and like, oh, man, I was really. But when you go into something like this, do you know, like, oh, man, this is going to relate with people. This is going to connect.
You know, I don't know that I was prepared for how much, specifically like the title.
Yeah.
Right? You
yeah.
know, so I don't think I was prepared for how much that was going to touch people. You know, like with the faith series, I've taught faith for probably 20 years, you know, being a pastor here on staff in the young adults, we taught series on faith. We learned at a great faith school, you know. In fact, the school that we went to had a faith shield that rotated on the top of the building.
Yeah.
I guess it got taken out by a tornado or something.
Oh,
or
wow.
Something happened to it. Yeah. They had to spend like $150,000 to get a new one up there.
Oh, man.
And so, yeah, they did an upgrade with some LEDs. That's beside the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, so, I mean, we learned at this great faith school. So I taught faith to the young adults. I taught faith in the main sanctuary. There was a period of time when Pastor Jim and Deborah were leading the church that I was in charge of Sunday nights. I did a faith series on Sunday nights, brought it back, you know, several times over the past decade almost that I've been the senior pastor here.
Yeah.
And so going into Romans and having this laid out in front of us, knowing that I was talking about the life of Abraham and faith, I know people are going to respond. I know it's going to touch people because I've seen it over the years when I've taught faith what it does.
Yeah.
So I was prepared for that.
Right.
Right. The law of faith series. I knew, man, people are going to connect. People are going to be stirred. There's going to be testimonies. There's going to be things that come out of this. I was ready for that. I wasn't ready for access granted because it was almost like, I don't know, revelation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, people are dealing with what is inaccessible. And that's a frustration and a pain point.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they have the realization and revelation, really the revealed truth, that access is granted, it just excites people.
Yeah.
You know, and like we said, then all of a sudden the illustrations abound.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I don't think I was prepared for that.
Well, I have a question from your first point of access, I guess, the point of access that you mentioned was peace.
Right.
And having peace, and really, as you, the question is kind of clarifying, having the peace or having the peace of God, and having peace with God, because you mentioned the peace with God or having peace with God, and so is there a distinction there between having being at peace with God and then having the peace of God?
Absolutely. So peace with God. So think about it this way, you and I. Let's say we were warring against each other, right? There's no peace. There's a war going on. But I can come and reconcile the relationship, and now we have peace with one another.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? But then what we experience individually, we don't share until you give it to me, right?
Yeah.
So it almost be like saying, okay, God and I are at war, and when God ended the war and I accepted the terms, now I can have peace with God. But God still possesses a peace in himself that I don't experience until he gives it to me.
Yeah.
And that's where access to what God has, right? I have this shirt, okay? So, right, if we, like,
yeah.
And I gave it to you know, and now all of a sudden you've got it. You've got something that was mine, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with God. God gives us his peace, right? Mm. That's the peace of God.
Yes, yeah.
Rather than having peace with God.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
No, that I can see that.
Seems like a weak illustration, but.
No, I because you're kind of passing that off in
right.
terms of you have the peace of God. And then,
yes.
And so what can I do with the peace of God?
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And this is one of those access points. That mm-hmm. Like when you realize what you have available to you, mm-hmm. it changes the way that you live your life. Peace of God
mm-hmm.
that's opened up by the peace with God is something that we can have in any circumstance,
right.
any surrounding, any situation.
Yeah.
I've often used an illustration in my sermons that they did a painting contest to see who could paint the most peaceful picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of entries came in. There was meadows in the mountains. There was lakes that were like glass. There was all these peaceful settings and situations. But the winner was one of a storm. And it was of this river and a waterfall rushing down. And it was just turmoil everywhere. But right next to the waterfall in the cleft of a rock was a sparrow's nest.
Mm.
And it was a little bird with its chicks underneath
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
And I guess chicks. Sparrow
yeah.
chicks? Baby birds? Whatever.
Ooh, I don't know. Birdies? I don't know. Birdies?
Baby birdies. But in any event, they were tucked into the rock.
Yeah.
And there was peace in the midst of all that turmoil, and
yes.
that was the winner.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because real peace mm-hmm. isn't an absence of
yes.
turmoil.
Wow.
It's something that you possess
wow.
in the midst of turmoil,
wow,
right?
That's good.
So the peace of God,
mm-hmm.
I can have that no matter who's
oh, wow.
in the White House.
Yes.
I can have that no matter if we're at war or
yeah.
at peace. You know what I mean? Like, I can have
See,
that
that's so
with or without money.
Because I think... Sorry to interrupt, Pastor.
That's okay.
But
yeah,
I can see we strive for the lack of challenge.
Right.
Even as believers.
Oh, yeah.
My life isn't good until I don't have those things. But that introduces the in the midst of those things. Because those things will never... tomorrow has troubles of its own.
Sure.
Right? Jesus.
Yeah.
That's Jesus' words. It has its own troubles. Because there's going to be challenges
every
day.
In the world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
But be of good
wow.
cheer. I've overcome.
Yes.
He won the war.
Yeah. Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though we won the war, there's still battles we face.
Yeah.
Things that we're going to go through, challenges, trials. And like the Apostle Paul, three times I pleaded with the Lord, take this thing away. I
mm-hmm.
don't want to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
But God says, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. You can make it through that
yeah.
with what I make available to you. And that's why the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Yeah.
We have the peace of God in the midst of whatever we're going through that surpasses understanding. In our natural understanding, this isn't peaceful.
Yeah.
Man, everything's a wreck.
Well, so that leads to another question. Because
okay.
I think a common term that we hear is peace of mind. And,
mm.
you know, we want peace of mind. But then I can also see how that could be distorted too, because there's God's peace and there's what we would find peaceful.
Right.
And so why should we strive for the peace of God versus just the peace that maybe we can find? Oh, I have a peace of mind about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's probably another step. Okay, great that you have a peace of mind and you sleep great at night. But there might be more to that in that you have the peace of God, you know, because you're inviting him into the situation versus just, oh, yeah, because you have money in the bank, you have peace of mind. Or
right.
you have this or that. Like, but if you have the peace of God, that's going to be, that's available for us regardless of money in the bank, how many cars are in your driveway, if there's gas in the tank,
yeah.
if there's a job that you have to go to tomorrow. You know, because imagine if you're without those things. You're struggling. How hard would it be to go to sleep? And I'm like, man, I have nowhere to go tomorrow. I don't have a job.
Sure.
Or there's no get. I wonder how I'm going to get to work.
Right.
Which are real thoughts that people battle with and struggle
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So peace of mind, I feel like maybe is fleshly versus peace of God.
Well, you know, when we talk about peace of mind, there's a settling
mm-hmm.
that comes with what you're thinking about. Right.
Yeah.
So if you have peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
it's saying that there is a settling of your thoughts.
Mm.
So that would be where I would say the faith component of this comes into play. You can have peace of mind. You can have settled thoughts when your thoughts are fixed on God.
That's good. Yep.
Right? When I know, hey, never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread.
Mm-hmm.
When I know the righteous shall inherit the land. When I know surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When I know something about God and my thoughts are fixed. What does the Isaiah say? Perfect peace have those whose mind is stayed or fixed on you. So when I've got my mind on the things of God, I can have peace of mind.
Yeah.
Right? Because my mind isn't settled on, well, how am I going to make it? Oh, I know how I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
I'll just do this. I'll do X, Y, Z, and then that will cover these expenses or that'll, you know, fix the relationship. Or, you know, we can settle ourselves on a lot of things. But when you're settled on God, that I'm just going to trust God and do what he says and he'll take care of the rest, it will give you peace of mind. In fact, Pastor Joel used a verse on Sunday night in his message. Brilliant message, by the way, Sunday night. If you haven't got a hold of the message tonight, get it. It's phenomenal, you know. And some of you guys watching online need to come. Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. I mean, we're doing a lot, working hard for you guys. And so I would encourage you to get as much as you can. But Sunday night's message, he used a verse, I believe it's 1 John, I think it's chapter 5, might be 4, but it talks about that we can have peace of heart and of mind, right? That heart area is so important because the heart will affect your mind.
Yeah.
Right? When your heart is settled, your mind will follow. Right. So that's where soul and spirit, when they connect, now you can walk in the spirit. But when the mind and the flesh connect, you're walking in the flesh. You know what I mean? And that mind is that teeter totter of which way you're going to go, flesh or spirit. So that's where the peace we have from the Spirit of God will overrule our thoughts.
Yeah.
So if you want peace of mind, hey, fix your thoughts on God. It'll settle you. It'll settle every argument. Well, I don't have enough. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know how they're going to respond. I don't know how they're going to react. I don't know what's going to happen. All those things that plague our minds, all those things that we end up worrying about and have unsettling, when our heart is fixed on Jesus and on his lead and his provision, his power, everything that he can do rather than what we can do, it settles you.
That's so good.
You have the peace of mind.
Well, you segued into heart.
Yeah.
And you also talked about, you said rejoicing links our head to our heart. How can someone who maybe if struggling with feeling spiritually numb start to reconnect with their faith?
Oh, man. You know, King David said something when he was in a bad place. You know, he had just sinned, had the whole situation with Bathsheba, murdering her husband Uriah. He knew he was wrong. He gets confronted, and in that confrontation, he repents, and he asks God to restore unto me the joy of your salvation.
Yeah.
And I think that's where maybe a lot of people, when they've gotten distant from God, when sin has separated them, not that they're unsaved, you know, any of those types of things, but, you know, to be restored to relationship should be a happy thing. Yeah. And oftentimes I think that we have, you know, a little ledger in our mind. I messed up this much, and so God must hate me this much. You know what
good.
I mean?
That's good.
Whereas Jesus went to the cross for those sins and has blotted them out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so we don't need to live by the ledger. We need to live by our salvation. And that's where the rejoicing can come from. And again, in our head we say, but I'm not deserving of this, and it doesn't make sense. But when we rejoice in our salvation, when we say, you know what, God paid for this, I'm appropriating it, I'm going to, you know, get cleansed in the blood. That's why repentance is such a great word. It's not a dirty word. Sometimes people say repentance is such a bad word, you know, or you only have to repent once. Foolish. Listen, you only have to shower once? Right? No, you shower every day, right? So, hey, when you sin, when you get dirty, clean up, wash your hands. Right? That's what, isn't that what James said? Cleanse
repent.
Your, wash your hands, you sinners. What's he saying? Repent of your sin. Confess it. Like, we all sin. Just go to God. Get it out there. Tell him about it. You know, don't be ashamed to go to God, because God's ready and willing to wash you. He'll cleanse you. And as you do, what does 1 John 1, 9 say? That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means that you can be clean. You know, when I give my dogs a bath, they run around the house. Like, they get the little zoomies and they're all of a sudden they're like, you know, going crazy. It's amazing. My one dog is like 14 years old. He should not be running like he does. But when he gets a bath, man, he starts frapping around the house.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know. And I think that's what picture I would get of someone. I'm cleansed from my sin.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm free. I have a relationship with God. I have peace with God.
Right.
And because I have peace with God, I can have peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
and I can rejoice in the hope of my salvation. That look, I'm not going to hell.
Right.
I may have messed up. I may have done the wrong thing. I confessed it. I'm cleansed. And now I'm going to move forward mm-hmm. in the joy of my salvation, really rejoicing. And that's where it links us up head and heart, because the head will say, you're not deserving of this. You're not worth this. Absolutely, I'm not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the heart says, but I'm clean.
Yes.
But the blood. Oh, I'm pleading the blood, right? Yeah.
And you have to remind yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta remind
all the time.
And I, you know, that term spiritual numbness brings a thought of like, okay, so you're here, but the feeling, maybe the feeling isn't there, or the feeling has gone away, or there's, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I pray, but I don't sense anything, or I don't feel anything. What about that question, you know, that people, I hear that a lot, especially in young people. You know, like,
honestly,
I would say
most people live their Christian life numb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily anything wrong with you or bad. You know, there's going to be seasons of tremendous rejoicing and all the feels. And I hope that everyone that's watching and listening, I hope that you do have the feels. I hope that when you, I mean, from the first strum of the guitar, first key on the piano, when you come into church.
Tears shed. Well,
when they swell the cymbals, I hope you just get caught up into the third heaven. You know, like, I hope that's the way. There's been times where I've come in, oh, man, there's like, I can't get to the seat fast enough, you know? There's been other times, though, that I'm like, all right, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and you know, we do have to live a life of faith. We have to walk the walk of faith. You're not always going to feel everything.
Yeah.
We're not led by feelings. We're led by faith. Yeah. I know God loves me. I know I'm saved. I know that God has good things for me. I know that the Spirit is moving. I know that His presence is with me. You know, I by faith, I know those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to always feel them. And so when I don't feel them, what do I do? Well, then I do my duty.
Yes.
And that's where the spiritual disciplines of prayer, of reading your word, of church attendance, of, you know, taking time to meditate on the word. That's just remembering it, bringing it up, speaking it over your life over and over again. You know, there's a spiritual discipline.
Fasting,
giving, solace.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
We are so surrounded and so, I'd say, you know, overwhelmed with information.
Yep.
We can't even process a sermon, because the moment we get into the car, we've already posted a picture of us going to church.
Yeah.
And because of that, we got distracted and we looked at everyone else's church.
Yeah.
And then we saw some people that were out of church early, what they're doing for lunch.
Yeah.
And then we thought about our lunch. Then we realized, I don't have the money for lunch, but I want lunch.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden our mind is on everything except the sermon. We haven't even processed what we just heard.
Mm-hmm.
We're already on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an information overload. And by the way, while you were scrolling through everyone's lunches, there was a attack in Israel. There was an earthquake somewhere. There was power outages in Europe. There was, I mean, the list goes on. And those things are concerning.
Yes.
But what do? I don't want to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I scroll through that. But we know about it. And then we don't do anything with it. So then when something really significant happens that does affect us, we're numb to that too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so-and-so died?
Yeah.
Sorry about
that. Add it to the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, their marriage is breaking up? Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Why? Because we've seen all these other things that are
before lunch.
All before lunch. All before lunch, yeah. I don't think man was made to receive that much bad news and even, you know, misinformation. Mm-hmm. We don't even know what to believe, you know? My wife was online, saw something that said Trump was raising the national minimum wage to $25 an hour. Immediately fact checked it.
Yeah.
It's false. It's fake news. Whoever put that out there, stop it. You know, like, I hope they're listening.
I know now that people just throw it out, everything out as a satire, and people run with it.
Oh, man. I mean, think about the Babylon Bee and some of those guys. You know, they post stuff that they have to say, hey, guys, this is satire.
Yes, right.
Realize this is not real. Yeah. But people are running with it
because
they believe everything that they see.
Yeah.
And yet, we were never made to have that much information,
yeah.
have that much coming at us, have this much sorrow, this much, you know, and the Bible is saying knowledge will increase and the love of many will grow cold.
Well, I want to go back to that part that you mentioned because I think it's very important. And you talked about the by faith when I don't feel it.
Yeah.
Because what I've encountered is the moment someone doesn't feel it, then something has to change.
Sure.
And it's never them. It's never them. It's never us.
Couldn't
it's
be.
It's always my surroundings. It's I need a new church. I need a new boyfriend. I need a new girlfriend. I need a new job. It's at the moment I stopped feeling it because the high was very high. And
right.
So now that there's maybe I don't even know what would identify it as, but it's just not the way it once was.
Right.
And now God's punishing me or God must not be speaking to me. So I have to leave this place. I have to stop serving here. I have to stop giving there. I have to change something to get that feeling again.
Right.
And it just feels like a cycle sometimes like you're bouncing around looking for your next fix of spiritual juice. Right. And
yeah.
So the by faith part and the patience part, and that's where I think discipleship comes in too. And when you're connected, see if you're in relationship, then someone could say, hey man, no, it's normal that you don't feel this way.
Right.
Right. Cause someone probably had to tell you like, you were a young, zealous man.
Mm-hmm.
When the feelings stopped coming, you had to have someone say, no, man, Dan, this is normal. This
right.
is right. Keep at it.
Yeah.
Get back in church. Get in, like you said, lean into your disciplines.
Right.
So what would you say is that, how would you roundabout explain that time of letdown and stepping in faith? I mean, you already gave the answer. Do it in faith.
Right. Yeah.
But what's happening when that happens?
No, the process is pretty common. We see people, they come to church, their life is a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what background they have, religious or irreligious, you know, they might be thinking about, you know, their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so that pain point pushes them into church service. They get saved and there's a rush. There's a joy that
mm-hmm.
comes with that, right?
Yeah.
Especially when people are born again, they get a brand new identity and walk and all that kind of stuff. And so they okay, so what do I do with this new thing, right? They go through the discipleship process, whatever that looks like at the church that they're at. They start to skyrocket. They realize, oh, I can serve. And now all of a sudden, everyone's talking about them, right? Hey, so-and-so, they're really something, man.
Yeah.
And they're fresh. They're new. They've got excitement. And
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, they're oh, now I'm a leader.
Yeah.
Now I'm helping out in the children's. Now I'm helping out in the outreaches, whatever it is. And they start to attain. And then they see, oh, well, if I want to do X, Y, Z, I have steps, right? And so they achieve those goals in a relatively short period
yeah.
of time,
yeah.
you know? Now, long term, some may see a broader goal and say, oh, well, Bible college and that sort of a thing. But even that is, you know, at our Bible college, it's a two-year process. If they're going to a different university, something like that, it'll be a four-year
mm-hmm.
process. And I think the mind starts to wrap around long-term goals isn't going to be like what I've experienced. But if you notice, there's this curve that
yeah.
starts to
yeah.
happen
yeah.
there, right? There will be a plateau area. When that hits, the mind goes into a crisis. I don't feel what I felt before.
Yeah.
How do I get that feeling back,
mm-hmm.
right? Rather than I'm not always going to feel everything.
Yeah.
And so what is God speaking to me to do,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So because there comes a point where Jesus says, hey, you followed me because of the food, but unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And we have to wrap our minds around, what is he saying?
Yeah.
Right? Unless you take up your cross and follow me. Wait, that's not pleasant. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Christian walk was never meant to be, you know, unicorns and rainbows and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even if we said a bed of roses, the rose bush has thorns, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is suffering. And Jesus says, you're sharing with me in my trials. You're sharing with me in my sufferings. Just like the comfort and the consolation of Christ have come over into our lives, so also does the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives. So that crisis happens on the inside of us where we say, I don't feel it anymore. What's wrong?
Mm.
And there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
And that's where good teaching will come in
that's
and say,
right.
hey, there's nothing wrong. Right?
Yeah.
That's where discipleship is so important so that
mm-hmm.
someone that's mature can say, oh, yeah, that happens.
Yep.
Oh, so I'm not weird? No,
right.
you're
right.
completely normal.
Yes.
This is a part of the Christian walk is
yes.
that you'll have those moments of rejoicing,
yes.
seasons of great joy and great growth and things that happen. But, you know, just like anything, you're going to hit those times of plateau.
Yeah.
You may feel like you're in decline, but if you faithfully follow God, he's going to take you up. You
yes.
know, in order to get to any summit, there's going to be mountains. There's
mm-hmm.
going to be valleys. There's going to be hills, highs and lows and all that kind of stuff. And so it is a walk of faith that when you don't feel it, that you continue on. So the process can go one of two ways at that moment of crisis. Either, like I said, they can be taught well, they can be discipled, they can be led. Mm-hmm. God can speak to them. If they can press through. You know, and I think about the people in Bible college. I think about the people that are in some sort of a accountability structure, that sort of a thing, if they're serving, right? Because if they start to back off, then the accountability will call them back to it. Mm-hmm. Hey, I noticed you haven't been coming. I noticed something's going on. What's happening in your life, right? That's why relationship is so important in church, mm-hmm. because it calls us back to that. Well, I'm not, you know, I'm just going through a hard time. What's happening? Well, I just don't feel it anymore. Well, you're not always going to feel it, right? That crisis will turn into that teaching moment.
That's so good.
Right?
Yep.
The other thing that'll happen is what you described. Well, you know, I felt that way when I went to a new church. Mm-hmm. The problem is that there's false positives.
Right?
Right? We go to a new church and they've got something different going on. Their music is different. Their preaching is different.
Yeah.
Their ministries are different. Hey, where the one church was saying, I need to go through this class to attain to this level. Yeah. Well, this other church, they're not saying I have to take a class. I can now do that.
Yeah.
There's openings. Oh, that first church, man, they were so religious, so strict.
Right.
This church is really a good church until
you
don't feel it anymore.
Yes.
Right? And then what do? We end up popping to another place. Yep. And we chase that experience, and people will chase that until they chase it out of church.
Yeah.
Well, I felt that there, but you know what? I found out I can feel that same way at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Right? Because they manufacture experiences at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw the fireworks and the music.
Yeah.
It was just like church. I had a spiritual experience.
Right.
No, you didn't.
Right.
You had a soulful experience.
Yes.
Right?
That's good.
It was your mind and your emotions. It was not spiritual.
Yes.
Right? Very unspiritual, but the devil would love for you to believe that that was
absolutely
a spiritual experience, because then when you chase it in the bar and you're drinking spirits, there's a reason why they call that spirits, because you're opening yourself up to a spiritual realm. Now all of a sudden you're seeing things and you're experiencing things, and now all of a sudden I felt like I've never felt with that, and then that opens the door. Well, hey, smoke this, take this, drink, you know, and all of a sudden we're off into, and we've seen that. It's hard to say, but you know, a lot of times when people talk about the scandal of church leadership and why they would be doing the things, could it be that they stopped in their faith, that they didn't have accountability, they didn't have relationship, and they chose their flesh for the experience and the feelings rather than following the faith, what God says, and denying the flesh? I don't know.
Right.
And I pray that I never know the answer to that question. You know what I mean? I want to run my race with joy. I want to follow the Lord to the end. I don't want to bring shame and condemnation on myself, on the name of Jesus, on my wife and kids, on this church, you know? And so that's where, like, hey, pray for me, y'all,
because
I need it.
Yeah.
Definitely. We all need it, you know? So
speaking of prayer, Pastor, I'm wondering if you can pray for us. I know we spend a lot of our time on talking about the peace, and I think that's just kind of Holy Spirit-led in terms of that direction and in reaching that peace. And we believe and we want you to have the peace of God and peace with God. So if you could close us out in a prayer, Pastor.
Absolutely. I'm going to pray two prayers. One, I want to invite you to pray with me, and that is if you've never given God all of your heart and life, I just feel led that there may be people listening that maybe you're realizing that I don't have peace with God, and you want that peace. Would you just take a moment and pray this with me? If you're driving, keep following the road. But if you're listening, if you can take this moment and just say, Dear Father God, I desire peace with you. Please forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my past. Be my Lord and my Savior. From now on, I'm following you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I want to pray for those of you that maybe you're plateauing. Maybe you're hitting that time where the feelings are gone.
Yeah.
And you're starting to look forward to, I don't know how to do this. Well, I'm going to pray for you. And I believe that you can, like we said, get your mind fixed on Jesus and experience that peace. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all of our listeners, God. All of our viewers, Lord, that are going to be receiving from this podcast. And I pray, God, that they would both experience the peace with God that gives us access granted to the peace of God. I pray, Father, that it would flow in every area of their lives, God, that because we have peace with you, we have your Spirit living on the inside of us. And part of the fruit of the Spirit, Him living and dwelling in our lives, is peace. And so I thank you, God, that spiritual fruit will flow into their lives, God, that, Lord, their surroundings may not be what they would desire, what they would like, and they want to run and flee from that. But, God, in the midst of that, just like that bird on the side of that rocky cliff with all the turmoil around it, God, I pray that they would just have that shelter in you, God, that they would have that peace that surpasses all understanding, guarding their hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. There'd be no anxiety. There'd be no depression. There'd be no worry or fear of the future. But God, I thank you, Lord, that that peace will just settle them, settle in their hearts, God. And because it's settled in their heart, God, that it'll settle down their minds too. We thank you, Father God, that all the questions, all the cares, all the concerns, even those that have plateaued, those that aren't feeling any feelings, they may be spiritually numb, God, that peace right now, like a warm blanket on a cold day, would settle over them, that they would literally feel that and just experience that warmth and that power of your presence, God. And I thank you, Father God, that moving forward, that their mind being fixed on you, that even though they may not feel it, I'm going to worship. Even though I may not feel it, I'm going to go get into the Word, and I'm going to hear God's voice. Even though I may not feel it, I'm going to continue to witness and to be a testimony and to tell others about the joy of my salvation. And maybe there's some that need that joy restored, God. I pray, Lord, that you would restore it to them, God, that they would experience that rush and that feeling that they felt when they first got saved, that they would remember it, and that they would experience it all fresh and new again. And that, Father, even if they don't have the feelings, that by faith they'll walk forward into the future, knowing that you're with them, knowing that you love them, and knowing, God, that you have cleansed them, God, and that they can walk in that peace each and every day of their lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you so much, hey, Pastor.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, guys. As always, like, share, subscribe, tell somebody about this. We hope you enjoyed. Thank you, Pastor Dan. Thank you, team. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.